Welcome to Rage You Nerds. I am Mr. Kak, and I am joined on a Friday, like I was in 2021, by my brother Jared, by our friend TJ. We are the nerds, and we're here to rage. An analyst, some a-hole that got paid, or maybe didn't get paid, he just wanted to offer his services out there, has done a study and says that weekly episode releases are better than the binge drop, so how Netflix does it, or any other format. Okay. Boys, do you prefer weekly episodic drops, kind of like how Disney, Amazon Prime, pretty much every streaming services other than Hulu and Netflix do it? Or do you prefer the binge drop? Or would you be fine with maybe a middle ground, maybe a batch drop where like three episodes get dropped 1 week, another three episodes a week or two later? Like, what do you boys think? Which is your preferred method for consuming a streaming series?
TJ, you want to go first?
Yes, I'd like to go first.
Okay, go ahead.
I honestly would rather not have someone, some asshole, give me their opinion on something that that I didn't ask for, you know?
Like, fair.
I think it's better this way. fuck you.
fair.
That's my opinion. Personally, I'm kind of at the stage now where I don't want to wait for week-to-week episodes. The reason I have streaming services is so I can watch, I could binge watch. I can, you know, you can drop a season of Letterkenny on Christmas, like the day after Christmas, and I can watch all six episodes, you know, and then get them out of the way and then have the rest of the time to, you know, do whatever. It's the whole like, oh, well, another episode of something comes on Saturday. Oh, great. I'll probably forget about it because that's 6 days away.
It's fair.
But I mean, there's just something about like being able to sit there and it's like, oh, well, I have like 6 hours to kill. I'm going to go ahead and watch an entire season. And the thing is, like, if you binge, like if you sit there and you drop all the episodes at once, and like say I can watch three episodes, and if I don't like that show, I can move on to something else. I don't have to sit there and wait 3 weeks to determine whether I like the show or not. You know, I'm kind of at the point in my life where I don't want to wait week to week for a new episode of something just to determine if I'm going to end up watching. I don't want to waste 10 weeks of my life watching something that I absolutely hate.
That's fair.
You know, and if you are going to week to week it, you know, I think DC streaming service that they had a while back, they, before everything switched to HBO Max, they did Young Justice season 3, and I think they dropped 3 episodes at a time for the week. I'm fine with something like that if you're going to do week to week, drop a few episodes, but like not a single episode. Like, I don't want to wait a month to find out if I want to stop watching the show. Like, okay, Cobra Kai season 4. Are we on season 4?
Season
right now?
4.
Sure.
So I sit there and I watch the first 2 episodes. I was like, okay. And then I came back the next day and watched the last 2 episodes, and I skipped all the bullshit in between.
That's fair.
Because
you missed a prom, TJ. You missed a prom.
Well, that won't be the first one. just kidding. I went stag.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my take on it. Jared, what is your take?
Well, I'm kind of with you on that. Let me adjust. There we go. I'm with you on this as like, I want to have everything kind of on demand because we're spoiled now. When they released on demand, everything was on demand. It's like, I can watch every episode of this series right now. Ha ha ha. I like it. I like it. I do not like that's what this is where cable and the mainstream have to catch up. And mainstream, I mean like NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox, airing these week-to-week episodes, and they're still older people that watch those and are want to say, what happens on 911 next week? Fine. I'm not that guy. I want it all, and I want it now. And even if I don't watch it all in one setting, I want to know that I'm capable of doing it, because, like, I can watch three episodes of something and be like, all right, cool, it's time for bed. And I'll watch the next three episodes tomorrow. If I got to, like, watch one and then, like, wait a week, and I'm like, that was dramatic. But I get disinterested. The only ones, and TJ will probably agree, because they haven't figured out a way to release the whole season yet, but, like, Destination Fear on Travel Channel and Discovery Plus, like, comment, and subscribe to Discovery Plus, and smash that dingy if you're watching us right now on YouTube. That's like literally the only cable show that I will wait the next Saturday to watch, because I don't have another way to do it. And that show is so good that it has me waiting around till Saturday. I'm like, all right, fine. Yeah, I'll wait. But like The Expanse, Chucky, all these other series on Netflix, Stranger Things, of course, like Dexter on Showtime was my like crux. Because a friend, when he first preferred Dexter, I'm talking about the original, not this remake, which I haven't watched yet, but I will. He was like, listen, man, you just got to get through the first two seasons. And after that, it's all smooth sailing. Got through the first season. I'm like, it's pretty good. Second season, I was like, yeah, I want to give up. He's like, no, don't give up. And then like seasons 4 through 7 or 4 through 8, like, I feel like I watched in a weekend. Because it was just like, I can't stop. I have to watch more. Now, you can make the argument that it's like, well, Jared, you could be doing more thing, being active and spending time with your son and blah, 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 blah. And that's fine. I get that. But there's just something about having the access to watch them on demand whenever I can and whenever I want to. If I watch an episode and I'm like, I have to wait a week to see what happens next, I think we're past that. I really think we are. And there's people that are still going to love that on those major networks, with the sitcom, not sitcoms, but like, again, you're 9-1-1, you're, I don't even know the shows on CBS and the rest of them are just Fox. But there's people that are going to always be, that's their Friday night thing. Well, like wrestling, for example, they don't have a season that they just release because a lot of it's live. They can't do that. But like you have diehard wrestler fans that are tuning in on Monday and Friday nights to watch their show. There's always going to be people that are tuning in on Thursday night, Friday night, Monday night, whatever, to watch their show. So I don't think it's ever going to go away. But I think a lot of these companies have gone to this kind of exposure, so to speak, that it allows you to have access to it all right now, but you don't have to watch it right now. You can plan it. You can watch. Here's the season. Do with it what you must. So which is what I prefer, because I like things on my time. I don't want to wait. Like if I'm totally engrossed in an episode and something happened, well, Lost in Space season 3 right now on Netflix. Holy crap. It's like, that's one of those. If I had to wait a week between episodes to watch this, I'd give up. I'd just be like, no, I can't do this. There's too much going on. But so I like, I think the streaming services realize that there's a lot of people like me and TJ out there, and we'll see what CAG has to say. But we like to have it all right now, so we don't have to watch it all right now, if that makes sense. We can if we want to. It's there if we want to, but we don't have to. It's there, though. That's the thing, having it.
So I've been sitting on this for about 6 minutes, but at one point Jared said, I know what I want, and I want it now, which made me think of the song by Culture Beat, where it's he said, I know what I want, and I want it now. I want you, because I'm Mr. Vain, which is a song that will get caught in your head if you remember it. If not, I'll play it for you later, and you can listen to it and regale in the, I know what I want, I want it now. I want you, because I'm Mr. Vain.
Oh, great. That's another song that's going to be stuck in my head. Next to some Lady Gaga song that my nephew keeps singing.
If we haven't got Creed or what was it? Jared, what did you start out singing today?
Oh, shoot. That was an hour ago.
Something by Hinder. Not Hinder.
It's Hinder. Really good to hear,
your voice. Say my name. It sounds so sweet. Coming from the lips of an angel.
So we're talking about streaming. And we're talking about...
By the way, we both sang better than him on that.
Yeah. We're talking about streaming. We're talking about, like, binge watching. And I guess I'm going to adjust my camera here for a second.
Now that you can actually see what you look like on the screen.
Exactly. So, okay, so we're talking about, like, binge watching and streaming, and, like, my first encounter with binge watching was Battlestar Galactica. I love Battlestar Galactica, the reimagined series.
Holy crap.
And I never watched it when it aired on Sci-Fi. And this is back in the days when Sci-Fi was SCIFI, not SYFY, not SIFI. I never watched it then, and I tried watching an episode because I kept hearing all these people talk about, oh, Battlestar Galactica, final season's greatest episode, greatest show ever. And so I tried watching an episode, was completely lost. But then I can't remember, was it Renee that let me borrow the DVDs, Jared? I think, was it?
Yes, it was absolutely Renee.
Yeah,
sorry.
So
on a pork rind.
She let me borrow the DVDs, and I sit there, and I mean, it was like 3 a.m. before I realized, oh shit, I got to go to bed and wake up and go to work tomorrow. Like, it was so good. Like, you had to watch the next one. They even did like a skit on Portlandia, I think, about binge watching Battlestar Galactica and how good the show is and stuff like that. And it's exactly how that skit played out. Is pretty much how I binged watched Battlestar Galactica. I mean, yeah, I didn't lose power and then have to call the electricity.
You didn't have your electricity shut off.
You know, but I mean, it was very much, it was like, oh, I'm just going to watch a couple episodes. And you watch the miniseries first and you're like, holy shit. And then it's like, you watch the very first episode after that and you're like, oh my God, like, I'm stressed. Like, 30, like, was it like every 33 minutes the Cylons jump in and attack, and for like, every like 33 minutes you're just like on the edge of your seat. Just, I mean, it such a good show. And that's how I'd like, that's kind of the way I want to watch shows, you know. I want to sit there and have nothing to do for 2 days straight, so, oh, what the hell, here's a show, it's got 22 episodes this season, I can watch it this weekend.
So for me, I never watched Breaking Bad in the moment. It wasn't until it was announced the last season was coming up, I was like, well, I'll give this a shot. And because the first like 3 seasons were on Netflix, I was like, I'll finally give this a shot. It's about to end. Might as well watch it now. So I would have never became a fan of Breaking Bad had it not been for binge watching. Same thing with Game of Thrones. I never weekly followed Game of Thrones until the last season. So I binge watched up to a point so I could watch the last season with my friend Reno while it happened weekly. So binge watching again, like if I hadn't had the ability to binge watch all of Game of Thrones and get caught up, I probably would have never been like, screw it, I'm not, 8 seasons, I'm never getting caught up with this crap, I'm out. So binge watching saved my life. But yeah, I don't know. So this analyst and gives you some numbers, but I mean, what do the numbers really mean? He said, like, what is it? 62% of the top 50 new streaming shows of 2021 used weekly release strategy of some sort, up from about 30% of the previous 2 years. Which, I mean, what does that truly mean? I mean, the streaming services, the ones that are dropping new releases are the ones that choose whether they're going to weekly drop it or not. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, if you have a hit series and you choose to weekly drop it, well, okay, I guess that feeds into that statistic. But Netflix drops out crap all the time and you just get to, I don't know. I'm on the side of binge watching, but I would meet the middle ground of like batch dropping. Again, yeah. I can't just do one episode and then wait a week. I hate that. I don't have the attention span or the interest at times, and I do at times, like there are some series, yes, I'll follow weekly. But like Ted Lasso, I'm probably not going to start Ted Lasso. Or I probably wasn't going to start Ted Lasso until all the episodes drop. The Expanse doing its current season, until
which I
TJ
have still not watched.
Until TJ said, "Hey, you know it is like weekly releases." Like, well, crap. Then I'm not going to watch it till all 8 or whatever episodes are out. So like, I'm waiting on that too.
The Boys is probably does weekly episodes too, and
Boys does weekly episodes, and I'll wait till all of those episodes come out because I'd rather just burn through all of it in one go. Because that's where, like, if I'm going to block out this much time, and I'm just going to burn through it. As opposed to, got to be prepared, the weekly drop's coming, it's midnight, let's do this. I'm like, no, just give me 6 hours worth of content, I'll consume it, and I'll be done. Will I then crave more? Yeah, but I mean, that's my own dumb fault for waiting to do it all at one drop. Like, let me be a stupid human. I don't need you to baby me and put restrictions on when you're going to drop crap. We got rid of cable for a gosh dang reason.
We cut the cord, damn it.
But now streaming apps are becoming more cable than cable ever was. There's commercials, there's advertisements, there's now upcharges, surcharges, competing, prices for having, well, YouTube TV can't do ESPN anymore because it and the House of Mouse are getting into a fight. But they'll bring it back, and I'm sure at some point they'll upcharge YouTube TV by 10 additional dollars because the mouse always gets its cheddar. But I don't know, man. Like, it's just, man, I thought we cut cable, but we never got rid of cable because all the people that were like, well, if you're going to cut cable, we're going to purchase all your telecommunication services. And while you thought you got rid of us, we actually are AT&T or Verizon, and we own your streaming services, or we're a part of the conglomerate that owns your streaming services. So welcome back to the 90s. You never really got out of it.
You know, that's the funny thing, too, is like YouTube TV. It's like I got rid of Dish Network or DirecTV, one of those two. And I decided I'm going to get YouTube TV. It's only $50 a month. And then, like, I got it for a month. And then, like, towards the end of the month, I get that email and it's like, oh, we've upped this price to $75. And it's like, cancel.
Yeah. I mean, it's just
I have probably watched it twice in this month. So
it's dumb. The world we live in is dumb. But you know what's not dumb? Philosophical conversations on who would win in a fight. So I've called these nerdy death matches. I don't think it has to be to the death, but hey, if we decide that these characters are going to kill each other and that's how a victor is decided, well, hell yeah. And I will be very open and transparent. MovieWeb.com on their Facebook page this week have recently started throwing out what-if scenarios. So the first one was Freddy Krueger versus Pennywise, and I thought, huh, that's an interesting idea. And now they're doing Spike from Gremlin versus, oh my god, I forgot what the other character, some other little small character. I'm like, huh, you know what, let's steal that idea and let's do that ourselves. But we're not just going to do that ourselves, we're going to the cage! That's right. This may not be the Nicolas Cage, but it's still a cage, gosh darn it. And we're going to rage. We're going to rage within this cage.
Rage in the cage.
So we're going to take, I'm going to give you a battle of two fictional characters, and I need you, TJ, and you, Jared, to tell me who you think's going to win in a fight. So let's start with the battle of the Batmen. So in one corner, we have Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne Batman versus, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne and Batman. So which Batman is going to out-muscle or maneuver the other Batman and claim victory in this fight?
Mr. Jared, I give you the floor.
The floor has been declared to Jared.
The floor has been declared.
TJ has opted to defer to the second battle.
The second battle. All right, fine. Okay, so this is tough because each one of them have characteristics that suit their character for the film. If we're talking about ultimate badass, Christian Bale, 100%, hands down, all the time. Fighting ability. All this, Bruce Wayne even. Bruce Wayne. Which I felt Michael Keaton did a good Bruce Wayne, but we did not get to see enough of Bruce Wayne. Every time we saw Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne, he was just in a suit. He wasn't Wayne Enterprises or anything like that. He was just like, I got to tell you something. When he's trying to tell Vicky Vale he's Batman, but he's such a wiener, he can't do it. Which is uncharacteristic Batman, because Batman would never say that. Batman would do what Christian Bale did and throw you a line. Sometimes all it takes is putting a coat on a little boy. Bruce Wayne? I don't feel like Batman would ever be like, I want to tell you I'm Batman. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I made love to you, but then like I totally ghosted you, or however he sounds. Anyways, Christian Bale. No, never.
Take Christian Bale.
I love Michael Keaton, and I love his character in the Tim Burton films. He does Batman well.
I think
Batman has to encompass the whole thing, and I think it has to be Bruce Wayne and Batman, how they gel, how they work together. Christian Bale in my and we Batman that's going to come out next in the 200 years in 2054 with the guy from the Twilight series. He'll be 78 years old by the time we get this movie. We have yet to see that geriatric Batman with the walker. Oh, stop you, Sonny.
And but let me just throw this out there right quick, Jared. This is who wins in a fight.
Christian Bale. Christian Bale. 100% Christian Bale.
Like, I just, Michael when Keaton, I think,
I love
when
you,
I,
brother, but you don't got a chance.
When I think of Michael Keaton, I think of that very long table and he's like drinking and he's like sipping his soup out of his, it's such an awkward 5 minutes of that. TJ, does our Burton created universe Batman beat our Christopher Nolan led universe Batman? Who are you taking?
Okay. So I was thinking about this for a little bit. And what you have is you have, you know, the Christian Bale version of Batman, who is trained by the League of Shadows, who pretty much, you know, learns his fighting style and everything and how to be a ninja, basically, this way. You know, a guy who sits there and to defeat the bad guy has to sit there and run it through with his butler. Or you have Michael Keaton Batman, who you don't really get to see his fighting style. And you don't really get to see him run through problems. And he definitely doesn't run through problems with his butler that much. I'm going Michael Keaton. Because there's just some shit about him you don't know.
What?
And that...
Where does he get these toys?
That is why he wins in a fight. Batman is not about the physical strength and the stuff that he can do. Batman beats you psychologically. And Christian Bale does not beat anything psychologically. Michael Keaton does.
That's fair. Okay, I'm not going to change my answer, but that's fair. That is 100% fair. DJ, I'm going to award you a point. The points are meaningless. They don't matter. It's kind of like who's lying and whatnot. Point TJ.
Yeah, so I think it's very fair to separate this battle between, if we're looking at just pure physical strength brawler, it's Christian Bale's Batman, right? That's what we were presented. But that was also potentially a detriment that people called out is, this Batman no thinky, he only punchy. Well, Michael Keaton's Batman was kind of a wiener as Bruce Wayne, but he had toys for everything. He was grapple hooking, batteranging, remote control carring, and it seemed like he was the creator of it all. So he had a beautiful mind in there. While Christian Bale seemed to have a Lucian Fox to be constantly helping him. So I don't know. I think it's a very interesting battle. I think you both bring up very interesting points. But you, on YouTube and or Twitch and or Facebook, what do you think? Who do you think wins? Is it Bale Batman or is it Keaton Batman? Are we getting nuts or are we finding out where's Rachel? All right, next battle.
I don't know.
I'm not sure who I take. I think we leave it open-ended and let other people decide.
Facebook poll, perhaps.
Unless you both take the same one, and then that one wins, and we'll still throw it out there for people to decide. All right.
I'm still sticking with Bale. TJ and his expert wisdom is an idiot and taking Michael Keaton.
So let's see. We actually have one Facebook. Oh, Jared's tagging someone.
Just me. Hello.
So our next battle is between two guys that just happened to have one bad day. One man lost his dog, and they shouldn't have done that. The other man lost his daughter, and they shouldn't have done that. That's right. We have the battle between Keanu Reeves' John Wick and Liam Neeson's whatever his guy's name was. Brian Mills. The guy from Taken. The father from Taken who had a particular set of skills. So in a fight... who wins between a father and listen, we can frame it however you want. Let's just say for purposes of this fight, John Wick has been led to believe that Brian Mills killed his dog. Meanwhile, Brian Mills has been led to believe that John Wick took his daughter. So which one of these men with particular skills is going to win this fight? TJ, you deferred last time, so you're up first, buddy.
Okay. This one, I think of a guy who's basically just all action, no talk. He's just going to go in there and he's just going to he's just going to destroy and shoot up and just beat up and just absolutely just utter chaos where he goes. Versus a guy who's more methodical. He's going to sit there and he's going to try to hunch you down and then take out people around you first and then go in for the kill, basically. So, person one, John Wick. Person two, Brian Mills. I think the chaos of John Wick beats the method of Mills.
Oh, well.
I think it's the absolute chaos. I think it's the absolute chaos that tops this one off. It's you know, John Wick, he'll literally destroy anything, but Mills is just, you know, like, I'm going to get you, I'm going to break your arm, and then I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. And then it's like, and then yeah. John Wick's just like, pow.
Yeah. All right. So Jared, TJ's taking the Baba Yaga. Where are you going with this battle of boys?
Okay, so the best defense is a good offense, which is what Liam Neeson's character is in Taken. However, there is no way Keanu Reeves loses this fight. Expert marksman, balls to the wall, let's go. I don't care about your skills. I don't care about... I don't care about any of that. You're going to die, bro. You're going to die. You're going in the forever box, and you're not coming out. I don't care what you know, who you know. John Wick does not care, okay? He doesn't care. He's putting... And you're... That's it. You're done. You pissed off John Wick. And more importantly, you pissed off Keanu Reeves, which is the same as John Wick. Liam Neeson, he's an Irish... choose my words carefully. He's an Irish fellow who's a very good actor. Keanu Reeves is a freaking badass in real life. Bye, Liam.
I can just say this. By the time Liam gets to the end of I've got a particular set of... Wick's already pulled the trigger. Like five times.
So you guys, like,
more times than Alec Baldwin, he's pulled the trigger.
Well, it's been nice knowing you, but the nerves have been canceled.
Thank you for watching. We've been banned.
Hey, he didn't pull the trigger, man. He didn't.
Gun safety aside, John Wick killed a man with a horse. So, I mean, take that for whatever you want. Liam Neeson got his daughter back, then lost her again, then lost his wife, but got everyone back.
You know, and to that point, real quick, how bad of a father is he?
Well,
I have a particular set of skills. They're going to find you and I'll kill you. They're going to mess you up. Didn't. I mean, you did last time, but like, I think I could do it better. Like, they had to make three movies. Now, granted, they've made some John Wick movies too, but like, every John Wick movie is him just kicking ass and taking names.
And he got a dog back, and that dog is still alive through the remaining movies.
He got a dog back. Every Taken movie has
been like...
Spoiler
alert! I haven't seen two or three.
Spoiler alert.
Well, if that spoiled the movie for you, then you weren't watching for the John Wick.
Like, I feel like every Taken movie, he was like...
The dog that he... Hold on. Is it the dog that he stole from the vet?
Yes! And it's not a good plot point. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, he still has a dog. Like, it's just kind of one of those moments. Like, oh yeah, he did take that dog from that guy.
I need to bandage myself up. Oh look, there's a dog. I'm going to take it with me. And then meanwhile, the next day, the people at the vet are like, where's my dog?
Yeah, no, he's John Wicked. Baba Yaga got it, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to keep, if we play this game again, I'm going to keep finding pairings for John Wick to really challenge you guys to maybe pick against the Wick. But what do you think, people out there in the interverse? Tell us, who wins? Our nerds seem to be on John Wick, Mr. Wick's side. But did we stay at the wrong hotel? Should it be Liam Neeson? Will we be taken for our sins? Who knows? All right, next battle. And this was the one proposed by MovieWeb. It's Freddy Krueger, gonna get in your dreams, bitch, versus Pennywise, the dancing clown. And while I put the Ed Skarsgård version of Pennywise, it doesn't have to be that one. You can use Tim Curry's Pennywise if that helps it. But who wins in a fight? The Dream Master or... the clown that happens to be an interdimensional being that is rivals with a turtle.
Well, I think me and TJ are both going to agree on this one. And TJ, I don't care who has the floor first on this one, but actually, no,
it's me.
Okay. In what sane world, does Pennywise the alien, who is a primitive being from another planet, happen to land here on Earth and can manipulate people to get them? When does he have any chance in the dream world? Now, do aliens dream? I don't know. I haven't researched.
He slumbers for 27 years.
All right. That's more than Freddy needs. Freddy will slice and dice this motherfucker faster than he can. Like, this is stupid. This is dumb. Cue the music, Mr. Cack. Like, this is dumb. When it comes to slumber and sleep and horror, there is only one master, and that is Freddy Fredless. Let's try again. When it comes to slumber, there is only one master. I'm going to try it again. When it comes to slumber, there is only one master of horror, and that is Frederick Douglass Krueger III, or Freddy Krueger as you know him. If it is Dreamworld, Freddy owns your ass.
All right.
And that's all I've got to say about that, TJ. Please, TJ, tell me why I'm wrong. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong, TJ, and tell me why this pansy-ass clown in Dreamworld has any chance against Freddy Krueger.
Okay, so this is what you have. You have Freddy Krueger, who can literally do anything to you in your dream, and you die. He can torment you for however long he wants and ultimately wear your ass down to where you're falling asleep constantly and kill you no matter what. Versus a guy who literally goes, "Ooh, I'm a clown."
Boogie, boogie, boogie.
Look at the balloon. Pop. Ah.
I don't know, boys. What if Freddy gets caught in the deadlights? Which is how Pennywise kills people.
It's not his world. He's not part of it.
What if he pulls him out? What if he pulls him out like what's her name did?
Which one? There's 14 of them.
In the first movie.
Literally pulled out every movie.
Yeah, but in the first movie, the main lady, I forget what her name is.
Nancy.
Nancy pulls him out in the first movie. Remember? Members? You members that? I members that.
Yeah. Okay. So still no.
Also, this is again, you boys can stick with it what you want. Freddy has been shown to be able to kill humans relatively easy, but we're pretty easy to kill. Pennywise, do you think his anatomy? Because I mean, like, yes, it took the ritual of Chud and some kids getting high and becoming adults and
he couldn't kill
power
the losers.
Friendship. He couldn't Freddy kill the losers.
Freddy would have had them gone before the end of the first movie.
That's it.
Most of them.
That's it.
But and Freddy also got murdered by Dream Warriors. So I mean, like maybe we're rushing
but
to.
Freddy keeps coming back no matter what.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Freddy's coming for you.
I'm not trying to say I pick.
Four better lock the door. 5, 6, grab your crucifix. 7, 8, don't stay up late. 9, 10, never sleep again.
A big fat
whatever
head.
Dylan said.
Listen.
Use that. Please use that.
I'm not trying to say that Pennywise would win. Because, yeah, it is kind of unfair because Freddy's going to kill him in his dreams, right? I mean, Freddy
Slice
doesn't have to.
Freaking dies.
Yeah.
Doesn't he sleep for like 27 years or some shit?
So he comes out, he feeds on humans, and then he slumbers for about 27 years is what the loser that stayed in Derry seemed to formulate from his investigations. I don't know, yeah. But it's there. Hey, we'll probably keep doing this. But what do you think? The people listening, watching, whatever. Do you think Pennywise stands a chance? Because these nerds seem to think Freddy Krueger's coming for you. And listen, if nothing else, we hope that you hate clowns and hate Freddy Krueger and never sleep again. But like, comment, subscribe, smash dingies. We love you. please let us know what you think in any of these battles and how wrong the nerds were.
Which were not.
And then let us know, is there a pairing of fictional characters you would like to see us put head-to-head in a battle and discuss? Let us know. Comment. Blah, 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 blah.
Hello.
All right, so that was that. So now let's end the actual show. Jared, TJ, thank you boys so much. Everyone that checked in during our technical difficulties first half, God bless you. Everyone else that may be listening to this at a later time, God bless you. And we will be back next. We'll be back next week with 100% less technical difficulties from my end. So that's a Mr. Cack promise.
I might even try it sober.
Hell yeah. All right, ending time. So this is the ending, and I think since we talked about Batman in like three different segments, we should end this with a na 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 Batman.
What did you say?
I said Whoopi.
Oh. Hey, by the way, tonight's sponsor, Whoopi Goldberg. She didn't know it. Goldberg.
She's just smashing her head into a locker room door as state troopers walk her down to the ring.
Oh, damn.
Okay.
And on that note.
All right, the end. Bye-bye.